Hey, what's up, guys? It is episode 3 of Just Trash, and it is just your boy tonight on this beautiful Friday evening at 10 p.m. Western time, Pacific time, my bad, Pacific Standard Time. Hey, but yeah, it's just me. It's my first solo episode on the cast, and Got a new mic from Neat Mics, Neat Microphones, I believe is what they're called. But it's the Bumblebee. So this nice high quality shit you got coming at you right now is from it's the Bumblebee from Neat Mics. And they got like this whole new line of like kind of Bumblebee themed, you know, cool shit. It's really cool, aesthetically pleasing, and super easy to hook up, and just all around good equipment. I really enjoy the quality of it, the simplicity of it. It's really nice. But anyway, fucking spent about 6 days since the 4th of July. Hey, Independence, what's up? And hope you guys had a good one. I had a really good 4th of July. At first, I didn't think I was going to do anything. I was just going to sip some beers with my cousin, sit on my roof, and launch off a couple bottle rockets because, you know, I'm basic like that. But, you know, it's all good. But the homie Antoine, you guys already know Antoine. He hit me up way later in the day, probably like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Or no, we talked before that, but he had some stuff going on. He had a good little party, good fireworks, you know. That shit just makes you feel like a real patriot. Good ass fireworks. I was feeling mad independent. It was good. It was a real good day. I will say that. And you know, we're peeking into summer now. July's over. I mean, it's not over, but I mean, come on. After you break the first 2 weeks of a month, the last two are just like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Besides like Halloween and Christmas, you know, by the time you get to that end of the month, it's like, shit, it's next month, dog. But anyway, so the new segment that I want to bring to this, like with my solo drops, is, you know, since I'm so fucking boring, you know, your boy can't keep up, you know, I gotta have me a clutch, a guest. I figured, fuck it, you know, when I do these solo episodes, I'm gonna check out some documentaries. And so this segment is gonna be DocuDrop. And, you know, you guys can fucking share this stuff on any social media platform. Just tag me on Instagram. It's at two stony for you. Oh, that's my Instagram. So you can plug me on that and tag me with that shit. Put it in your stories. I post about the podcast and everything else that I'll be doing content wise on my Instagram for the most part. Then on Twitter, it's at Just Trash Podcast, I believe. I don't know. Little Buzz had a couple Trulies. So don't quote me on that. But if you can't find it, it's whatever. I'm not really tripping. We'll get there. But anyway, what I really wanted to get into on this one is I just watched over the past 2 weeks the documentary Free Solo. And man, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but it's pretty sick. It's pretty sensational. I would definitely go check it out. And it's about rock climbers, basically. But it's not about rock climbers in general. It's about this one rock climber. I still don't know how to pronounce his fucking last name. But it's Alex Honnold, I want to say. I want to say it's Honnold. It's not, I mean, it's H-O, so I mean, I don't know. I want to say it's Honnold. It's not Honnold, because that's fucking, yeah, I don't know. But either way, it's the homie Alex. That's just all you need to know. But dude, this guy, he's broken some records before. He's a crazy climber. He's out there. He's scaling mountains left and right. And this one was his biggest challenge yet. It's El Cap, and it's in Yosemite. Up here in Yosemite, up here in Cali. And it's the biggest, like, rock face, I believe. I could be wrong about that. I haven't, you know, I've only watched the documentary. I can't remember everything. But I'm pretty sure it's like the most dangerous, biggest thing to like scale free soloing. And he dreamt about it for like 8 years. And it was just like his, like, it was just this crutch that he couldn't get past. It was just a chip on his shoulder. So he had to do it. And the whole thing's really crazy, man. It sets out into like, it reaches other things just besides like, you know, him climbing and his life climbing. It goes through like his whole life in general. It really kind of lets you know like who he is as a person and the things that happen with him. Because like immediately through the first few minutes, you're going to be like, okay, there's definitely something off about this guy. And it's very, very like seeable for sure. And like, he's just a trip, man. Like and they even talk about it at some point in the documentary. He's got like this thing. It's his amygdala. I don't think that's the right word, but it's this part in the brain where like you feel different sensories and like shit like that. It's basically like your fear. He's got like this part in his brain that practically like cuts off those certain little ties. Like there's not a lot of that activity going on in his brain. Like when you feel the stress of going up those certain heights and shit like that, like most people would be fluctuating at a certain frequency in their brain, and like this dude just doesn't. Like he's like, he just doesn't do it. He's driven. But that also leads a lot into his personal life, because I guess, you know, before like Asperger's was really crazy exposed and all that stuff, like his father supposedly, well, according to the documentary, had Asperger's. And you know, this guy, Alex, he didn't have, you know, like the lovey-goey growing up, you know, hug you before school and say I love you and have a great day and, you know, be home by this, like, type of life. Like, his father was, like, obsessed with traveling, almost to the point to where, like, that's where Alex got his obsessive personality for climbing from. His dad was just so, like, just driven to travel. And if he wasn't traveling and going to cool places, then he just wasn't like in the right state of mind. And you can totally see that reflect back with Alex. Like when he doesn't do the climb the way he wanted to, or if there's any fault, like he's a real perfectionist. Like, and you can say that, like, if you watch it, you'll see it. Like, he's like, it's the only, like, free soloing to him, it's like, that's how you reach perfection, because it is life or death. Like, you know, you go up 100 feet, you know what I mean? Like, chances are you're not, you make one slip and fall, you're not living through that, and that's just not happening. But he really explains, like, how he feels on that. Like, it's perfection to him. Like, when he gets to the top of that mountain, he's like, yeah, like, that was perfect. Like, because he's alive still. And I mean, he is right. And that's, in that sense, definitely. But it's just crazy to me. It fascinates me because the type of control and like balance these guys have with just like when you watch him free solo, like he's got no ropes, no tools. He's just got that little bag of powder, you know, on his fucking belt. And it's just like the angles, like with just the little, he's using the tips of his fingers and the tips of his toes to hold his whole body weight on. It just looks unreal. You'll see certain peaks and ridges that he's going up, and it's just like, what in the fuck? Like, it just, I could never fathom, and I would never try. Like, it's a whole different kind of breed of person, I feel, honestly. But yeah, it's crazy. He's a great climber, and El Capitan is, I believe, over 3,000 plus feet. And like, it seems like it would really, it's about 7,600 and something feet above sea level, I believe, if I can remember right. But I mean, the dude's a beast, man. Like, and if he wasn't climbing, he would seem like a straight sociopath because of his fucking personality. But he found his thing. He found his niche, his little fucking, his Kickstarter. Like, there's one point in the documentary, I believe, where he's like, these, like, scaling these mountains and free soloing them. He's like, it's like smoking cigarettes. Like, he's addicted to it. It's really fascinating. And the thing that really stuck out to me on this one was just like how in depth they really got on his personal life and how it really predicted the way that he came out. Like, it when you hear and learn about his personal life, like, it makes totally sense, like, to where he's at now in the documentary and like what he's doing, his reasonings behind it, and just everything that's like going on. Like, it just makes, it makes perfect sense, really. Because it was rough, it was emotionless, and he was put down very young. Like, he had to deal with being put down very young by his father, who would call him, you know, just would just give him typical put downs. And to deal with that kind of disappointment from a young age, you could see how he would strive for perfection every time, you know. That, like, you can see how he feeds off of that and wants to fill that, because, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you just want to be accepted. You just want to know, you know, you want to be cool. You want everybody to think you're cool and fun and or smart or strong or perfect in that sense. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're a kid. You don't want to be bad. You don't want to, you know what I mean? You don't want to throw, you know what I'm saying? You just don't want to be that way. Like, you want to be accepted. And so it's really understandable to see how at a young age he could feel that way and adapt that necessity to feel really accomplished. And when he talks about his mother, and when you see his mother, she seems very, very, very butch, if I can say that. Very butch. You don't really get too in deep with her in the documentary, because it's not really about her. But when he talks about her, that's another level of where he got that strive for perfection, because she's basically like a no nonsense, you know, no fucking, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's got to get done, and you got to make it happen type of lady. Definitely. But, I mean, honestly, dude, it was a whirlwind of emotions, because you don't know if he's going to do it. Like, he scales it a few times with rope. You see him fall a couple times with the rope, and you're like, dude, this is really not looking good on your part, G. But, I mean, he's devoted. But, like, one of the craziest things that really, really stood out to me on this is that he said, and I quote, that he had to learn how to hug people around the age of, like, 23. And, I mean, dude, what? Bro, come on, bro. Like, I couldn't, the type of emotional blockage you had to get, like, preset in you from young age. Like, that is rough, bro. He had to learn how to hug people? Dude, like, were you just fucking beaten with fucking socks full of soap bars and shit? Like, what the fuck? I don't know. That's just one thing that, like, I mean, I get it. You know, you can obviously see it with the way he was brought up, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just fascinating. It really is crazy how he had to just adapt to, like, human emotion, you know. Like, he had to learn, like, that just, like, you know what I mean? I could take a hug right now, you know what I mean? I had a long day. I could take a hug. Fuck it. So in a way, it's like he's driven by this crazy level of self-loathing, And like he just constantly seeks that perfection in free soloing. But I definitely think that stems from his early age of just being unloved and, you know, like uncuddled and, you know, like, because that's how that happens, you know, like it all stems from like childhood. Like when you're fucking growing up in a shit situation and like that, it's constant. And then, well, oh yeah, I forgot to mention this. Like his dad also died young too. Like his dad died when he was like fucking young, like 13, 14, 12, anywhere from that age gap. They don't really talk about it or state it. I don't remember hearing anything about it. I don't think they stated it at all, like what age he was when his father died, but I'm pretty sure it was preteen to early teen. So that also has got to have a big, big impact. Like, you know, your dad treats you like, I mean, not treats him like shit, but like, you know, puts him down, doesn't really give him any real motivation or sense of being accomplished. And then, you know, like a year or two later, at, you know, after you're 12 or 13, like he just fucking, he dies, dude. And like that, you can't do anything about it. So you're constantly, you know, searching for that feeling of just feeling accomplished, or even just feeling proud, or feeling that pride of a father's love. You know what I mean? Because you want every kid wants that. Like anybody could be done with their dad at any point, but every kid wants that sense of accomplishment and pride from their parent. So I could see how that really, really affects him. And so finally, after a lot of production, a lot of time of him practicing and scaling the wall, he finally gives it a go. He tries it and he free solos it. And he starts off about 4 a.m. It's hella dark. He's got a headlamp on. And he gets up about 200 feet. The sun starts coming up. And you can just hear him. He's fucking just huffing and puffing and sweating. And then he gets up to a certain point and he's like, I'm not feeling this. He's like, he's, you know, verbally saying, you know, I'm over it. I'm over it. And it's like, fuck, dude. Like, you know, he's been searching so hard and training so hard for this fucking shit. So you really feel it. Like he was pretty winded and stressed. You could definitely see it on camera. And he was definitely second guessing himself. So it was probably good that he did bail. And then after that, you know, it sucks because it was setting in before winter. And I think because of the ice factor, you know, free solo guys, I don't think they climb during winter just because of moisture and coldness. There's probably not a lot of friction. You know what I mean? So to my understanding, well, no. Yeah. I'm gonna cut that back. So after he bails out, it was his last chance at that moment in the season to attempt it before the winter came through and set up and everything. So it skips, bam, year later. And he's like hanging with his girlfriend and shit. I haven't even really got into his girlfriend. I don't think I'm going to, but anyway, so year later comes by, bam, crew's back there with him. Everything's back. They're just about to start to get shit handled. And, you know, they're just, it cuts to the whole crew that he's got running with him. And they're just giving like a little speech, you know, and they're like, you know, tomorrow, no mistakes. We got to make sure, you know, it's life or death for like them too. You know what I mean? You got to think they're filming him. They're watching him. And it's crazy because the whole time I was like, how the fuck are they getting these angles? How are they getting these views from him just free soloing? Like, it never once occurred to me, oh, professional other rock climbers are doing it with ropes. But he was getting real stressed out about, like, people being there, recording him. You know, of course he would. Like, you know, you got all that attention on you, it's going to fuck up your mind. So they ended up putting I don't know the term, not automatic cameras, but you know, the they pre-placed the cameras in the spot because the map that they already had the route mapped out. So they knew where he was going to go, where he was going to turn, what pitch. So they kind of had everything set up real nice ahead of time. But I was really tripping about that the whole time. I was like, yo, if this is real, how are they recording them right here? but it's really phenomenal. The views had me fucking out of my mind the entire time. It was insane. And so, but he bails, right? And then, you know, he gets up one morning at like 4 a.m. and he just dips out and he goes and he just starts doing it. After the cameras are pre-placed, they had it to where they weren't there. They could, like, he couldn't see any of them. So it wasn't fucking with his mind at all. And, oh yeah, this is the best part. So he goes back, right? And he nails it and he's going fast. Like everything that he had a problem with when he was up on the ropes, he's just fucking bam, 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 nailing it, going through it. And ultimately he does scale it, which is super awesome. Broke the record. As far as I know right now, he's the only person who's still who has done it. And I believe he still holds the record. So, you know, shouts out to that dude. But definitely, please, I go watch that. Go watch it. It is so good. The first 20 minutes are a little dry. But after that, like, you're like, okay. Yeah, after you start to learn more about him, why he's doing these things, like, it makes more sense. I think it's mainly fascinating to me because it really just puts your mind into somebody. It puts yourself kind of in their shoes a bit. Just to know why somebody would put themselves in that type of danger and, you know, put up that much risk just for saying, you know, like, oh, I did it. Like, you know what I mean? And I mean, ultimately, that is like everybody's, you know, like goal to be like, oh, I fucking nailed that shit. You see that shit, dog? You see that? Bro, I fucking nailed that shit. That's all I'm saying. But like, so I get that. But it's just, fuck, dude, like, I mean, hours upon hours, like, it took him, like, fucking, like, in the practice run, like, it took him, like, 3 hours, I think, to get to the point to where he bailed, and, like, that wasn't even, like, halfway up, and then he just goes back and fucking nails it in 3 hours and 56 minutes, the whole fucking mountain, like, it's super dope. You go back, you see him, he's just, like, at one point, he's, like, he's got like a little hustle, like you almost see him like running up that fucking mountain, and it's just like, it's crazy, honestly. But I really loved it. I really enjoyed it. So that's with that one. The other thing I wanted to get with real quick before we end, I'm gonna tap this out at 30 minutes, but before we get to it, I just want to finish off Wrinkles. I finally finished Wrinkles, and it was a whirlwind of emotions because the whole time I was like, what the fuck is like really going on? I had a whole dossier linked up, and just to figure out like this fool is like, they faked us for 35 minutes. They faked us and then brought out the real dude. You don't get to see his face or nothing, but it's pretty dope. And it's just, it's way more controlled, like, than, you know, there's a whole production crew behind Wrinkles. There's a whole team. Couple, like, they go and pick him up, they stage things, they wait outside while he goes in and scares kids and shit like that. Like, it's dope. And then he goes back and he edits and reviews all of his videos that people record of the whole process. And like, I think he hooks it up like with the parents to where he goes in and then like they'll have like a camera or like a laptop camera set up, or like some type of recording situation to where he can walk up and mess with it and kind of like acknowledge it to where he knows to set like a little bit of, this is just to set like a little scary tone. But he's like a positive figure too. It's a real interesting thing. And he's got this like low key viral vibe that he's chasing. Like, he's practically a normal content creator, but like, he's not, it, like, they're not, well, I should say they, since it's a team, but they're not really, like, super crazy about it, but they're just trying to, like, maintain this, like, stage of being almost, like, folklore, like a legend. Like, like they're trying to bring presence of like, you know, like Bloody Mary and, you know, Charlie and stuff like that. Like something to tell your kids, something to scare your kids. You know what I mean? They kind of want this to live on as like an urban legend, basically. That was the main vibe that I was getting. But like virally, it's really taken off. And I don't know. I think it's really cool. But one thing I wanted to do right now is I'm going to call his number right now. And I don't know. If he picks up, we'll talk to him and see if maybe maybe he would like to phone in for a little conversation on the podcast, because I'm really intrigued. So we're going to call him right now. Ooh. I'm not going to lie, I'm low-key nervous as fuck. If he picks up, I'm going to lose my fucking shit. I swear to God.
You've reached Wrinkles the Clown. I'm not here to take your call. Leave me a message, I'll call you back.
Hey, Wrinkles. This is Sky Wilson from the Just Trash podcast. And I'm doing a little segment about you. I just watched your documentary, bud, and I liked it a lot. But you know, I was just wondering if you'd be cool with that. I'd like to have you on here, talk about some things, just for a couple of minutes. But it'd be cool. I think a lot of people would like it. So, give me a call back when you can if you're interested. Till then, stay creepy, Wrinkles. Yeah, so we'll see what happens, man. That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool to get him on the show. That'd be a big flex, as we young people say. But yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be really fascinating. I just kind of want to pick his brain. And I mean, who even knows if it's really like the dude right now who probably first did it is like, dude, fuck this. I'm already, you know what I mean? I already made the viral sensation. I'm going to fucking pay people to do this. But I don't think they make money. I don't think they make a profit off of anything, because they don't have a YouTube page. They don't really have a social media page. I don't think Wrinkles is making any money. I think this is all for clout. This is all fucking... all just exposure, which is kind of baller, which is kind of sick. Because I mean, I don't know. He's making some money. There's a documentary on Hulu, and plus, like when you watch it, there's like scenes, like, you know, that they kind of put in there with, like, you could tell they just put some dude in a Wrinkles costume and was like, walk over here and do this, and like, it's just, there's a couple acted out scenes, but. So he's definitely making some bank somehow. But, yeah, I don't know. I really hope he calls back. Because that'd be fucking sick. Wrinkles the Clown on episode 4? That'd be fucking sick. And I'm going to cap this off at 30 minutes. I'm sorry I'm not doing a part 2. It's been a long couple weeks. And, you know, I'm still getting all this stuff together, but it's getting better. The quality's getting better. And, you know, thank you guys. Thank you guys. I appreciate it. The listeners are getting bigger. The audience is getting bigger, and I appreciate it all. So yeah. You guys can follow me at 2stony4u. That's the letter U at Instagram. And, pull up my Twitter real quick. Real quick. Where the fuck nog is my Twitter right here. Yep. And Just Trash Podcast on Twitter. So go ahead and give us a follow. And the episode will be posted up there pretty soon. Thank you guys for watching.